And
I'm gonna come out and say I got the short straw on seats.
Why? We're sitting in identical seats.
They're all the same seats.
But in terms of location, I'd rather be against a wall than out here.
Oh, really?
Oh, really? Do you feel threatened?
Yeah, I do.
Hello and welcome to Fredo Good Home. My name is Michael Hing, and joining me, as always, is a man who's drinking out of a mug with a lovely, I'll say lovely, Basquiat design on it.
Yeah.
Isn't that lovely, Ben?
I didn't know what this was. I thought, you know what I thought, Michael?
It's a dinosaur with a crown.
Yeah, because I think Simon Griner, our mutual friend, has done art like this, and I think he was probably doing it in reference to this artist.
You just thought it was a Simon Griner original.
I thought, oh, Simon's made mugs. That's good.
We have a not just you with a coffee.
Uh-huh.
We also have a guest today. He's travelled all the way across. Oh, I reckon it's the Tasman.
It is the Tasman Sea. Congratulations! Sea,
from one of the islands of New Zealand, probably the north.
Well, born in the south,
okay,
but live in the north.
So he's travelled from the south to the north, then across the Tasman.
Over several decades, has made a trek here to my house to record a podcast with us. It is the wonderful musician, comedian, I would say bon vivant, Paul Williams.
God, don't call him a fucking bon. That's the worst thing you can call somebody.
Is that an insult?
I think it's an insult.
Oh, I'm sorry, Paul. Hi, Paul.
I don't really know what that means, but hello, podcast fans.
Sorry, I feel like I overreached there with my vocabulary and it backfired.
It's like calling someone a raconteur.
Well, if you're a storyteller, is that what that means?
I mean, look, I ran a storytelling night for 10 years, and if you called me a raconteur, I would hit you with a car.
Well, Paul, how do you feel about being referred to as a bon vivant?
Again, I don't really know what that means.
Oh, it's French for best vivant.
Okay. And what's vivant?
It means pedophile, unfortunately.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I don't like it, but it's factually, please, no, sorry.
How are you enjoying Australia? What's been going on?
I really liked it here. Yeah, I've been here for a little while and great city.
Is this the first time you've been?
No,
I've been before, but this is the longest I've been.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
What have you been doing while you've been here? Have you been doing touristy stuff, hanging out, doing comedy? What have you been up to?
Not a lot. I've been trying to work on my show for Edinburgh. Not happening. I've mainly just been kind of wandering around. I signed up to a gym in the city where we go and we kind of sauna and swim.
Oh, that's good.
So sit in a sauna a lot, which seemed the other day I was like, I kind of just remembered COVID while I was in there.
Oh, in the sauna.
Yeah. I was like, this is the worst place I could be.
Of all the, Actually, I do know that you've been to Australia before because I ran into you, I would say like 6 months ago in Melbourne. And the reason I remember that, because it was brief, it was probably like 5 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I like ran into Paul and Aaron Chen out the front of a bar.
Uh-huh.
And I recognized Paul and I said, oh, love to meet you. I just wanted to say, huge fan Taskmaster.
Yes.
Love it. And then I went upstairs, right? Uh-huh. But the reason I remember that interaction is because Aaron Chen said something to me that night in that moment.
Is it a classic insane Chenny thing?
It wasn't even insane. It was just like, I had short hair for a very long time, right? Like real short hair. Yes. And then I grew it out.
Yes.
And then when I was down in Melbourne, that was the first time I'd kind of been out and about with longer hair.
You felt like you were debuting the haircut.
You know what I did? I did. I think we were down to do a Free to a Good Home. I think we were down to do this podcast.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And I was like, well, this is the first public debuting of my hair. And I was feeling very good about it. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
It was kind of like a bit like I'm wearing it now, but a bit longer and kind of worn back.
I would say you looked like you could have passed as, it was sort of a Game of Thronesian hair.
Oh, yeah, all right.
Yeah, like one of those early jousting knights who dies
sure.
in that.
Yeah, but all right. Well, maybe he didn't die so early. Maybe he has a little bit of a B-plot in
anyway,
one of the episodes. Anyway, well, so I went down to Melbourne and I knew I was going to see some people I knew.
Mm.
And I was like, I wonder if anyone's going to mention the bloody hair. I wonder if anybody's going to, because it's quite, Paul, you've only known me with hair like
yeah,
this, but,
yeah,
but it's
yeah.
quite a departure.
Right.
And I thought, I don't know if it's going to, it's the first couple of hours there, I saw a lot of people I knew.
Yeah.
Nobody said, oh, look at that.
I didn't second guess it. No, I was like,
of course
that's
not.
His hair.
It suits his
and
head.
And also, was he in Game of Thrones? I was like, I think he was a knight.
I think I was also wearing a pea coat, so that probably didn't help. But anyway, then I ran into Paul and Chenny, and I said, hello, Paul. And I said the thing that I just said, and I said, oh, hello, Aaron, how are you? And he pointed at me and said, ooh, hello, mate, check out Mr. Slick. And I went upstairs to that bar. I didn't talk to anybody for about 2 minutes while I composed myself because I'd just been absolutely destroyed. And I did seriously consider, I was like, can I get a haircut before the show? So that's, and also.
Now you can hear the other side of the story. Me and Aaron continued down the street where he just bullied everyone's hair who we walked past.
Yeah, inspired by the man he made weep at the bar.
But it's lovely to have you on. Thank you so much for taking the time to come to King's Beautiful House, or as Moses calls, my son Moses, we have swimming lessons, not a stone's throw from here.
Wow. Well, hang on. He does swimming lessons.
No, I'm in the fucking pool, man.
Oh, are you?
I'm not learning shit. Like, I don't know how to swim. Let me be clear. But whenever we drive to swimming lessons now, Moses points at this building and says, that's where Hum lives.
Oh,
and
right.
I say, well, Hing also lives there too. And it just stony silence.
Doesn't even register.
Yeah. like he didn't fucking hear.
Yeah. Well, your son has made a powerful enemy today. Paul, this is a podcast where we go through Least Classifieds and find the best and worst things available to any bargain hunters out there. Are you someone who purchases things online? Are you a Craigslist or a Gumtree fan?
I'm a Trade Me person, which is
that's the New Zealand.
That's
one,
New Zealand eBay. Yeah, Gumtree.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's better than Gumtree, personally.
Interesting. Wow.
I actually think it's better than eBay in terms of like, maybe it's just because it's what I'm used to, but not in terms of like what you can find, but in terms of like interface, I like it. Yeah, I like it.
Okay.
Trade Me. Shout out Trade Me.
Yeah, we are sponsored by nobody on this podcast except for the lovely people at Rode who provided these microphones.
Oh, okay.
But we give and our wonderful Rodecaster Pro, but we give shout outs to brands on this podcast that not only have not given us money, but would never in a million years give us money.
Yeah.
New Zealand is, I mean, I don't want to turn this into isn't New Zealand different kind of thing, but it is strange that New Zealand has their own, like, why do they need to have their own eBay?
What the fuck are you talking about?
Why can't New Zealand just have eBay?
Why do they have their own government? What do you mean?
What's different?
we do actually have eBay.
Yeah.
But I think what happened was Trade Me got in quick. Like, Trade Me basically, I think, because the guy who invented it, his name is Sam, I can't remember.
Sam Neill, one of your most famous exports.
When he's not doing his winery?
He has a winery.
He made Trade Me so he could sell wine online. Yeah, sure.
So it's been going around for a while.
For as long as I can remember, since I was a kid. But I remember being like hearing about this guy who invented this thing. But then as I got older, I was like, he didn't invent it. He just saw eBay and was like, yeah, we'll do that.
Yeah.
And then I think it got in early. So it's like, but also, it's just New Zealand stuff. So you don't have to, like, if eBay, I do buy stuff on eBay, but it's often from the other side of the world and you have to pay like the
import tax or whatever.
Yeah.
What's your, is Trade Me a trustworthy place? Do people get scammed there? Have you ever been scammed?
I've been scammed, not on Trade Me. I got kind of scammed once, just a guy claiming a football shirt was real. And then when I got it, I was like, this is going to sound crazy. I'm actually wearing this. This is not the shirt I bought.
Right.
This is one I already owned.
So this is a
2018 France home.
World Cup.
World Cup.
It's got a white rooster on it. It's blue. It's got the triple F of the French Football Federation, I imagine. Is that what that stands for?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And the main thing I look at buying online is football or soccer jerseys.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm like slightly addicted to buying them. It's
interesting.
Bad.
Favorite jersey of all time? Is it
it's too tough.
The Nigerian one that everyone loves? Is it the new the new Venice ones that everyone loves?
Your knowledge is good.
These are the only two trendy football shirts I know about.
Yeah. I saw a guy wearing the Venice. Venice, last season's one yesterday.
Venice is a beautiful city.
There's a beautiful city. They have a football team, and I think what happened was their stadium is is not huge.
Yeah. Mm. Do you know what's funny? Whenever I think of Venice,
yeah,
because I've not to boast been to Venice, so yeah. I have no excuse for thinking this.
Uh-huh.
But whenever I hear like Venice football team, I'm like, how do they? What are they splashing around in the canals?
Yeah. So I think their stadium is very small, and so what they did was they were like, well, we can't actually have record crowds here all the time from the locals because, it'll sink. It'll all sink, right?
Yeah. Mm.
So they decided to try and appeal to tourists because that's who's in Venice, right? Mm. So yeah. And so then they hired like, I don't know, it was like Balenciaga or whatever to make their football jerseys.
Oh.
Or whoever it was. It's some wacko. I shouldn't say wacko.
That's wacko.
Some high-end designer to do that. And they're quite trendy and quite popular. You'll correct me on this. I don't know.
I've never heard anybody other than my six-year-old mother use the word trendy.
Now it's me as well. So wait, how did you get scammed with this jersey?
Oh, no. That's not a good story. But he just, the thing is, it's kind of reflects bad on me because I was trying to buy the same jersey that I already own, but a long sleeve version. And he assured me it was real. But the thing is like, I already owned a real version of the jersey to compare it to.
Oh, sure.
So when it came, it was slightly different, but it was fine. It was so cheap that I was like, I can't complain. It was like $20 or something.
Can I say, I've already said one thing on the podcast today about being unspeakably sad about something, which I don't want you to think that that's sort of,
That's our shtick. I'm like the sort of happy-go-lucky one.
I don't think that's true.
Ben is the one who is unspeakably sad.
I'm the bad boy.
but also I relate to, if someone just says something like, it's always about kind of your physical appearance normally.
Yeah.
And it's just like touches that sore spot and I'll just think about it forever.
Yeah. I had this realization the other day when somebody said to me, they were saying it like in not like a kind of confrontational way, but they were like, you know, you said something to me like 5 years ago that I still think about. And I was like, I have no recollection of doing
this. That happens to me all the time.
But like, that's so scary. Like it's terrifying. Can say something to somebody and that will just live in their mind
forever.
And Chenny doesn't remember saying this to me. Chenny's moved on. Chenny's engaged. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
but no.
I think we got to get him on this podcast to apologize.
I don't think he would. I think if we got him in here again, he would smell the weakness in the air and he would destroy Ben again all over.
I can't have that recorded.
You can't risk it.
I can't. I mean, I have a child. He might listen to this one day. I need him to sort of borderline respect me. I feel
bad as one of his accomplices when you said it.
And you did nothing. I just stood by.
I don't even really remember. But when you said it now, I actually kind of do remember it.
Yeah. You were like, I don't remember that guy's name, but I do remember him being unspeakably sad about something.
Somehow the Charlie Brown music started playing.
But anyway, I had this realization before I came to the podcast today. You know when like something not very sad happens, but for some reason it just like completely ruins you for at least an hour?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm expecting some cables from Amazon. Like literally just their mini XLRs to XLR.
Okay, it's not even
a proper cable. No. It's an adapter.
These are sound cables.
And I got an email saying they're coming on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And I went to myself, oh, I thought they were coming today. And I felt initially, so a couple of emotional things happened there. First of all, I felt this like weird wave of disappointment. And then I realized I was feeling disappointment about not getting, not even fucking cables.
Just adapters.
Adapters, yeah. which I don't need to use for a month. And
but
then,
you wanted to open a package, Ben.
That's what it was. And then I was like, what is happening to my life?
Oh, man. But getting a package from online, how good? Like,
even
regardless
if it, even if it does have mini XLR to XLR adapters in it, it is. It's a pretty. But Moses has ruined that for me.
What do you mean?
Well, because Moses wants to open them.
Well, okay. Well, it's not. I don't think you should describe that as ruining.
It's ruined. Him.
But you should be. You
it's
should,
ruined.
I think
may
a lot
as
of,
well not get anything.
I think a lot of fathers would find some joy in watching their child open a package.
Yeah, you know? Maybe it's first that, fucking time. I don't know.
I have something to share. Actually,
yep.
Before we get into the classifieds, this is a pretty good story. I went Turkish Oil Wrestling recently, Paul.
Whoa.
Now, Ben, I put this in a group chat, but I don't know if you read it. I went Turkish Oil Wrestling.
This in our Turkish Oiling Wrestling group chat. I was like, this is fairly pedestrian stuff for this chat. So
I went to a medieval festival and at the medieval festival.
Like a Ren fair?
Yeah, I think it was earlier than Ren. Ren is.
Oh, yeah, medieval. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, I think Ren, I don't know where Ren starts, but medieval, it's like sort of.
I think
of,
Ren starts around Henry VIII.
Yeah, I think this is before that. Okay. So. We flew up to Brisbane.
Be really wrong about this. And if people get in touch about to tell me we're in the Renaissance, I'm going to drive into a lake. Honestly, if
any of Ben's enemies are listening and you would like to kill him, so we went to Brisbane to go to the biggest medieval fair.
In
the southern hemisphere.
It's always in the southern hemisphere.
You know the north has some
yeah. pretty big ones. Well, they've got surely. Castles they can actually yeah. use, you yeah. know. And it was like
still 20. Take that, Argentina.
It was like 25,000 people, which is a lot, in my opinion.
Wow. That's wow.
Huge amount of people. It's like Splendor in the Grass, but for
what? 25,000?
Yeah, apparently. And it was packed. It was very packed. And there was different types of medieval. There was, and everyone turns up in their different armors and stuff. Wow. And they go, we're the Saxons and whatever.
Is it very Western focused medieval?
Like, well, here's what's great. I think a lot of medieval people just have a costume they wear to these things. Like if you're a reenactor, yeah. you have a costume you wear. And so there were plenty of like Knights Templar types, sure. and then like Crusaders and like other knight, whatever.
That's a bit on the nose.
Vikings, that kind of, there's plenty of them.
Sure.
And then a couple of Asian people had turned up just in full Asian getup. And I'm like, that's fine. What?
You're going to have to be more specific.
Like samurais or like Chinese, but like, you know, but they wouldn't have fit in with the rest of the castles and stuff.
Right.
But like, that's the gear they have. So they wear it. That's fine.
You sound angry about that. I'm not angry about
that. Well, no, this is the thing that got that. Then you have like, and I'm like, those two groups of people, white people dressing as white people, Asian people dressing as Asian people, mm-hmm. broadly speaking, I'm fine with that. Sure. There are, however, about half a dozen what I would describe as Tom Cruise in The Last Samurai.
Ah. Matt Damon in The Great Wall.
Yeah, exactly. Is that what it was called?
Yeah, I don't think so.
There's not many, but maybe half a dozen people who were very white and dressed in sort of conical hats, swords, whatnot. That's the interesting thing
I find about people who do this. They're never a bit white. they're always the most white people you have ever seen in your life.
But obviously because there's a lot of crusader types there, yeah. they have to have someone to sort of reenact to battle against. And so they have a sort of a Turkish area for Turkish people.
Okay.
And their friends and hangers on to.
How are they? I assume they're there of their own free will.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So this has been around for like, for 20 or 30 years or something. So these people have been coming back every year and there was a Turkish couple getting married there, you know, they're big tents and stuff. And they seem to be, even though they are technically the enemies of many other people there, they seem to be very welcome.
Well, everyone's the enemy of somebody. Yeah, like, exactly. You know, Moses is your mortal enemy now, and that's fine.
So one of the things that they do a lot of Turkish stuff.
Sorry, can I just say, I just realized, speaking of the Knights Templar and the Crusades and all that, like which I feel like history is like pretty much, like the jury is kind of in on that being quite an unsavory chapter in Christendom, right?
I think it's pretty bad.
I just remember that when I was a teen Christian, mm-hmm. We used to go on these things called Crusader camps.
Now, were they military training camps?
Well, no, you'd do a high ropes course and your parents wouldn't have you for a week. But like, that's a fucked up name now that I see.
Well, in New Zealand, there's still a rugby team.
Oh, there is,
the Canterbury Crusaders.
They're union, right?
Yeah.
And is that thought of as like a fun thing or is it thought of as a bit crook?
Well, in the last kind of few years, there's been like a movement to like change
maybe
the
rename
name.
It.
Yeah. And they were like, we're hearing what you're saying, mm-hmm. and we've decided to redo the logo. And so they kept the name, but they got rid of the picture of the crusader with a sword above his head.
Oh, okay. Right.
And and now it's like a C.
Oh, so they've gone. We have transcended as a rugby team. We have transcended the historical figure.
Yes.
Now we're just a word.
Now when people hear the word Crusaders, they're like, "Do you mean the Canterbury rugby team?"
Yeah. The Crusades.
No, when they won the
1999 Super Rugby tournament. Of course.
I was wondering why the Pope sent all those rugby players to modern day Palestine. So there's this Turkish area, and they do a bunch of Turkish stuff there, which is very fun. I guess maybe Ottoman's the correct term. I don't know. Look up. Don't have history, but it's vaguely the people there identified as Turkish. One of the things they do there is Turkish oil wrestling. Now,
you said that far too fast. I think people are going to want to go back and listen to what you just said.
One of the things they do there is Turkish oil wrestling.
Great.
Now, I've not seen Turkish oil wrestling before.
Oh, you simply must.
It's apparently been going on for 600 to 700 years, mm-hmm. in Turkey, and it's a shirtless style of wrestling. Mm-hmm. So there's no leotard. It's a shirtless style of wrestling, and you wear these very tight leather pants.
Leather.
Extremely tight leather pants that you have to get from Turkey.
The oil's not coming out of them.
No. I think that's part of it.
Unless it's the kind of oil that treats leather.
Well, it was olive oil. It was out of big industrial jugs is what it was. It was olive oil. So there's very tight leather pants that have your name press started into the back, or not started into the back. So wow. I might have Hing written on my butt.
On your bottom?
Wait, wait, you had these pants?
Yeah, well, I had to get them done so I could enter the competition.
Yeah, wow.
Do you still have them?
Yeah, they're at work right now.
Stupid so fucking job.
And, okay, there's so many things to tell you. Okay, so we met a guy whose name isn't, whose name was like.
If you're going to tell me all the names that it isn't, it's going to take a while.
Basically,
it isn't Sam.
He yeah, okay. loved wrestling so much, he changed his name to Rasul. Right? That's how much he loved wrestling. And he goes to Turkey every year to compete, or he did for a while.
Is he of Turkish extraction?
Yes, he is.
Okay.
But recently he's aged out of the Turkey. So after, I think, 40, you're not allowed to compete anymore or something
like
that.
You're not allowed.
Yeah, because it's a young man's game, oil wrestling. So he's not allowed to compete anymore. So he just sort of runs classes and does enactments here in Australia. No longer goes back to compete. And he was saying he has this injury in his knee, right? And he had it strapped up. And I was like, oh my goodness, are you gonna wrestle today? And he looks at me and he goes, the doctors say I shouldn't, but I can't help myself. He's addicted to wrestling, right?
This is the plot of the Mickey Rourke film, The Wrestler. Well, the doctors tell him that he can't. Oh,
really? I've never seen it, but does he cover himself in olive oil?
I mean, yes.
Yeah, right, okay.
He calls himself in something that's very slippery.
So we're like, what do you love about this? And he goes, I love the oil. And we're like, okay. He's like, I love putting the oil all over my skin. Uh-huh. I love the feeling of the oil.
Oh, okay.
So he
can do that. Like without the wrestling element.
Yeah, unless his doctor is like, you wrestle or you're simply too oily. Like,
yeah. You are incredibly allergic to olive oil.
He loves being slippery. Loves to be slippery.
Who doesn't?
Now, the way you play oil wrestling, also the way you oil wrestle, is you need to pin the other person to the ground or you can lift them up above your head. If you do either of those things, you win, okay?
I'll probably go with the first one sounds a lot easier.
Apparently, lifting someone above your head is never done, but everyone's like, that is technically a way you can win. Right. And if you ever do see it, it's like the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah. Anyway. There's probably a chess equivalent to that.
Yeah.
But yeah. First move wins.
It's amazing more people don't do that.
Staring at your opponent until they weep sadly. It's just you need to insult your opponent's haircut and then they immediately. So the reason the pants are so tight is because one of the only ways to really get a grip on everything, because everything's so slippery,
is the pants.
Is to put your hands inside the pants, right? Yeah. And then grab the pants from the inside. Now, when you grab the pants from the inside, it gives you some sort of purchase because they're so tight and then you can lift them up. Hang if you're trying to grab the body, it's too slippery.
From the front or the back?
Either. But you're not allowed to grab the junk because that's a disqualification.
How would they know?
Well, the other person will go, he's touching my dick or whatever, and then you get disqualified. Now, so I guess it's another system in some ways.
I guess that's probably, Paul, you're more into sports than me, but I guess that's probably true of virtually every sport.
Like what?
Well, dick, grabbing a dick is a disqualification.
Yeah, if somebody-
It's probably a penalty in most sports.
Golf, certainly.
Tennis.
If somebody reaches into your pants and grabs your penis when you're playing- Golf, that I reckon that wouldn't be kosher. Yeah.
I think you'd get kicked out of most sports for
most
sure.
Most sports. I'm struggling to think of a diving. No.
Do you remember the time that Guy Montgomery came on our podcast? He talked about squeezing his dick and then farting.
That was one of the greatest moments of my life. Guy was like, you know, when somebody tells a story and they think the story they're telling is like a you know when sort of story.
But do you guys not do that over here? That must be an easy one thing.
And he said, you know, when you have your dick to make yourself fart.
No. This has gone wrong in your head.
Sorry.
What Guy said, and I'll do the voice, was like, it's like, hey, you know, when you want to do a fart, but you don't want to piss yourself. So you just grab your dick and then you can do the fart. You know how that happens, fellas.
And you were like, absolutely not.
We were unable to speak for about 3 minutes. I'd have to check the tapes, but.
So anyway, in this trip, when I was being trained, this is just one many embarrassing things that happened to me. When I was being trained for this, I guess because you're meant to grab the pants, the way you put your hand into the pants is with your palm facing the pants, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Right? So you can't grab the dick unless you can bend your fingers back.
Exactly. But this wasn't explained to me. And so the guy was like, oh, put your hand in my pants now. And I was like, what? He's like, put your hand in the back of my pants just so you are comfortable doing it. And I was like, okay. And I put my hand in
not realizing, palm to butt. Mm-hmm. And so I sort of just cupped his butt and he was like, what are you doing? And I was like, what? And he's like, we don't do that. I'm like, oh, sorry.
But are they still have my
recognition? That's absolutely on him.
How because, would I
know? Like, you touched me with the gay part of your hand.
Like the one time my girlfriend, like, for she got me a massage. We were in New York and like, The woman was like, okay, you get ready, I'll come back.
Uh-huh.
But I was like,
that's a trap.
She means like undress in some way. Uh-huh. But I can't assume, like, if I get this wrong,
do you know what I'm doing in that? I'm taking off my fucking shoes.
That's what I did. That's literally what I did. I took my shoes off and I put my bag. I also got flustered because she was like, there's a hook there for your bag. But as soon as I put my bag on, it just came out of the wall. And so I was like, so I'm panicking about that. And then,
you have a bag full of fucking bricks?
My bag is often heavy. It is heavy. But I think it was pre-broken.
Okay.
But so I was freaking out at that, but then I was like, how much clothes do I take off? I took off my shoes, I think, and then just was like, well, I'll just wait. And then she came back and she like couldn't believe it. She was like, Paul, what are you doing? And I was like, oh, sorry. I don't really know. And then she was like, you... And but then for a second time, she didn't really explain it enough.
She's like, go on, then left.
And so I was like, okay, well, I think shirt off, I think is what I did.
Yeah.
And then left pants on. And then she came back again and she was like, no, there's like, but that's the same thing the guy's done. Yeah. It's like, you can't be mad at me.
Do you know what would have been like the ultimate power move there? To go like, Paul, what are you doing? All right, I'll come back. And then you're like, all right, fuck, take your shirt off. And then she comes back in and goes, oh, Jesus Christ. Well, this is not this kind of place.
Okay, so it's funny you say that because something very similar happened to me. So after that training session, which did not go very well, and I got pinned a lot, he said to me, okay, now it's time to go get changed into your pants. And so I said to him, okay, well, just so I know, like you don't wear underwear, right? And he's like, yeah, you can wear underwear if you want to lose because that's something to grab onto. That's worth purchase, right?
That's the Turkish oiled wedgie.
Yes, exactly.
Of fame.
So I went back into this little, tent to get changed. And all I know is I've got to take my shirt off and put these pants on and I've got to take my underwear off. That's all I know, right?
Yeah, but you probably shouldn't do it in that order unless you're going to Mr. Bean it.
So then as-
Wait, what's the Mr. Bean? Swimming one where
he takes his underwear off and I take his pants off. I have a memory of him taking his undies off.
Yeah.
I was thinking because at this gym where we wear a sauna, there's like a lot of really old guys.
Oh my God. Just love to get it out, don't they?
And they walk around. So they're not really there that much during the day, but once I went in the night to just have a shower because I'd been playing soccer and I was going to a movie. And so I was like, genius plan.
Yeah.
And I went there and it was just filled with the world's oldest men walking around holding towels.
Oh yeah. They love to hold towels.
Completely naked.
Yeah.
And my first thought was imagining them watching that Mr. Bean episode where he jumps off the diving board and loses his togs and he's like, got to get out and get it. And they'll just be like,
oh, well, like,
what's the problem, Mr. Bean?
Yeah, go do it. Like, what are you doing?
Speaking of old men in changing rooms.
Oh, sure.
So I had swimming lessons with Moses today.
Of course you went swimming.
So he's 3.5 and he doesn't like putting his head. This is just context, pointless context, but I feel like two weird things happen at swimming lessons. Uh-huh. One, Mo doesn't like put his head underwater.
Mm. I think it's the hair. Mr. Slick. It's like
runs in the family.
Son of Mr. Slick. Yeah. And so like every single Saturday we're getting like millimeters closer to getting that head underwater, right? Like he puts his little mouth underwater and then like next week it puts his little nose underwater. And anyway, the swimming teacher today had clearly had enough of it, which is so strange because like it's a very common and obvious problem with children. I've seen Moses is not alone in this, but anyway, he was like, Mo was like, Daddy, I don't want to do it. I don't want to put my head underwater. I was like, well, pal, what are you just going to, he's like, give him to me. I was like, and he's like, come here, Mo. And so like because I'm in the pool, I give my son to this guy. And like, have you ever seen one of those like Greek Orthodox baptisms where the priest just goes fucking nuts with just the kid? Just like, dunk, 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 dunk. So anyway, that was happening. Very traumatic. Handed back to me Mo just looking at me like, how could you?
You just stood. And you did nothing. You did nothing, Dad.
He's like, you were just like Paul that time with Jenny that you tell me about all the time. That was you, Dad. So anyway, it's already not great. We go into the after the swimming lessons. We go into the change room and have a shower. Uh-huh. Right. So like, I'm having a shower with Mo because he doesn't want to shower by himself.
Uh-huh.
But I'm in my boardies still.
Uh-huh.
Mo's nude because he's a child.
Just child. Innocent child, a cherub, if you will.
Anyway, then this like old mate, just like somehow more naked than naked. You know what I mean? Like somehow just like kind of walking towel in hand,
yep,
goes into the shower next to us. No doors on these showers. It's like it's prison. And he just starts making these fucking noises. Like
what do you mean?
Okay. I'm not going to necessarily replicate them on the podcast. Uh-huh. And I know that like sometimes when you're a parent, you get a little bit paranoid, but I was like, oh, that guy's jerking off.
Oh.
And now I'm going to have, and I was actually like, fuck, I'm going to have to like work out a way to like go into the next cubicle and be like, you need to stop that without upsetting Mark.
Uh-huh. He could have been a New Zealander who was trying to not
piss while he farted. Yeah. Cause it wasn't like, it was like these ones like, oh.
Yeah, right. It was okay. Right? So it was pretty, yeah.
So I was like, fuck. So I was like, wait there, little buddy. I'm just going to go. And I went.
I'm going to kill a man.
Yeah. And I went like to look at him and he was just having a real nice time in the shower. Sorry, he wasn't jerking off.
Right. Yeah.
I was like, he's jerking off, but he's loving it. So who am I?
But from his perspective, what he saw was a man come from the next cubicle, look into the shower like, righto, and then walk back.
So he's
going to be furious at you.
Probably. I mean, nobody's happy in this story.
Okay. So the guy says to me, take off your underwear to put on the leather pants.
Yeah.
And so we go in this little tent to get changed. Now, my radio partner and I've never seen each other naked, but we're just like, I guess, I mean, I feel uncomfortable about this, but it's like,
we'll just go back
culturally.
Back to back.
Yeah, sure. It's fine. We didn't have to, you know. So we just like, we want to do the right thing. So we get naked, right? We get fully naked in front of each other. Oh. Not looking or anything. We're just naked, right? At this point, one of the guys over the fence hands us a 10 liter thing of olive oil and says, you'll need to oil up yourself before you put the pants on. And so we go, okay. So we're pouring oil into our hands and now we're rubbing it on ourselves, right? And without being too graphic, all right, on the bits that they need to go in pants. So my whole lower half, I'm running olive oil up and down, butt, dick, legs, ankles.
I'm familiar with that area.
Everything, right?
Like,
and then I go, how much oil do you put on? He's like, when you think you've put on enough oil, put on more oil, right? So now we're just, I don't know, there's like liters of oil all over my body, right?
That's not cheap. Like olive oil isn't like,
yeah.
I mean, well, I imagine this is an extra virgin stuff, but like.
Not first pressing.
Not first pressing, yeah.
okay, at this point. Like, we feel very uncomfortable, but we're like, I guess we're here to do oil wrestling, so we just do what they tell us to do.
Oh, yeah, went in Turkey.
Went in Caboolture in Queensland.
Yeah.
At this point, the wrestle from before, he walks in to check on us to see how we're going, and he sees the two of us naked, rubbing oil all over our bottom halves, and he looks at him and goes, what are you doing?
What did you do wrong? What was the wrong thing?
He was like, what? I was like, what? He's like, cover up your private area. I'm like, what? And then he goes into a second tent and gets a bag out of that tent and hands us these small little towels. He's like, why are you covering up with these towels? And we're like, where are the towels over there? How the fuck are we supposed to do the little towels there? And he's like, so he just thinks we're like these insane exhibitionists.
Again, though, I agree with Paul. This is on him. Also, like, he's a fascinating character. Someone who's like seems to have devoted his life to like semi-nude oil wrestling and is like this weird prude.
Scandalized by seeing my butt. Also, another great thing about him, his teenage son was there and we were like, hey, like do you wrestle like your dad? And he got real awkward. He's like, nah, man, what is this kind of stuff? No, I'm not into it. I'm like, okay,
what's
cool.
He doing at the Ren Fair?
And he's like, I just come here to help out my dad. I'm like, well, what do you to help? And he's like, I have to take photos of my dad.
Oh.
So I can't think of anything, as if you're a teenager, I can't think of anything worse than having to spend your weekends going to Renaissance or to going to medieval fairs with your oiled up dad taking photos of him wrestling other men. I would be the most uncomfortable.
Yeah, wow.
Anyway, that's my noodle. Eventually I got the pants on. They were so tight that I have, you can see a bruise there on my hand from where I had to try and get it on.
How did the wrestle go?
Yeah. Did you and Lewis wrestle each other?
Yeah, we wrestled a lot. We wrestled a lot.
Do you know Lewis?
No.
What's the full name?
Lewis Hobber. No, I don't think you either.
Okay, well, I've had experience with both of you, not wrestling experience. I'm just trying to work out who would win.
Well,
because Lewis has got the reach. He's a tall fella.
Yeah. It was for TV, so it was a little bit up and down. You know what I mean?
It was.
I think he lost after saying that. Yeah, he lost. It was kind of rigged.
I got humiliated, but it was obviously you were rigged. Yeah. We wrestled a lot. And
was it fun?
It was pretty fun.
Were you slipperier than you imagined you'd be?
So slippery. You slip all over the place.
What ground are you on?
Grass.
Grass. Yeah. Grass. Okay. Yeah. For some reason, I was picturing like almost like mud, but I don't know where I got that.
No, it's grass. It's grass. But then what you don't realize is because you've got to re-oil in between rounds, and also we were told that the etiquette is to oil your opponent as well.
Right.
So once you're all dressed, by the way, they have to use a tire jack for some of the people to get the pants on.
A tire jack?
Yeah. So the pants are so tight, they need to jack them open with a tire jack. And then before they restrict, you need to put them on.
I would think that that would shatter your pelvis before it would, the pants would give.
I have so many fucking, no. So the tire jack never touches you.
Oh, okay. I imagined it goes pants, jack, hip.
No. You wedge the pants around the tire jack, then jack the pants open.
Okay.
And then oil up the pants.
It sounds like a kind of Wallace and Gromit sort of contraption.
It's a Rube Goldberg machine to get my pants on.
So I think you were lucky that it was olive oil. Because I reckon if I had to be covered in oil, that is the
oil choice.
That is the oil I choose. So a few years ago, Paul, I worked on a TV show that several guests on the podcast were on. Yeah, brag, whatever. It's not a big deal. It's just TV, man. It's just whatever. I've been to Venice, worked on a TV show. I'm bloody Ben Affleck. So it was Tonightly, and it was hosted by former guests on the show, Tom Ballard. Mm. And
there was a character on there called Mr. Oily.
Well, this is the thing. So we got cancelled, but networks very
in the TV sense or like
no in the TV, in the TV sense
yeah
networks
I mean
very
Ben had some bad tweets but you know
for reasons that will come apart.
A lot of photos of Ben in a samurai outfit that were very Robert.
It was tasteful. It was an homage. Networks very rarely tell comedy shows that they're cancelled while they're still on air,
right?
Because when they do that, the comedy shows while they're still making episodes will just be like, All right, we'll just do whatever the fuck we want now.
Yeah.
And that is what happened with Tonight. We had 8 episodes left or so. And they said, they called us into the office and said that we're not making this show. So it was probably the funnest creative 8 weeks of my life.
Yeah.
And as a result of that, Greg Larson, former guest on the show, lovely man, came up with a character called Mr. Oily, which Tom, our host, would just be like, thanks very much. That was an interview with the Greens deputy leader, Larissa Waters, and now Mr. Oily. And it was Greg Larson rolling around on a tarp covered in oil saying-
Now, what oil did you use for that?
Well, this is the thing. So this is what I'm getting to. Uh-huh. I'm sorry. He'd say things like, I'm so oily and I'm the oiliest fellow, you know. Things like that.
Yeah.
You know
what I mean?
Catchphrases like that. I think we used him 5 or 6 times in those 8 weeks. Anyway, because it was the ABC and there was no money, I couldn't
afford first pressings.
We couldn't even afford olive oil. So I'll text him after the podcast and I'll put it on our Discord so I can remember, so I can clarify this. But from memory, it was real fucking scuzzy, worst of the worst vegetable oil.
Oh,
and I
right.
think Greg, for those 8 weeks, just didn't stop stinking.
Well, we asked about the kinds of oil and apparently a lot of other oils turn solid at temperatures at room temperature or whatever.
Really? Right?
Yeah. If they'll gunk up on your skin and stuff and whatever. And so I don't know what the alternative oils were, but olive oil has a pretty good, I don't know, liquid threshold or whatever.
I've often said that of olive oil.
It'll stay slippery.
I'm kind of fancy. So if I'm wrestling, it's truffle oil.
Oh goodness. That gives you an edge because some people, myself included, can't stand that smell. My mother, who's fond of saying trendy,
uh-huh.
is also fond of saying that when she and my father started dating, you could only get olive oil in chemists.
When did they start dating?
The 70s.
So is this before there were like Greek or Italian people in Australia?
Well, they were there, but like their right. cuisine was considered like fucking wackadoo out there.
So what did, what would well, you
I was
to-
hoping that one of you two could tell me, because mum has told me that fact, I would say 50 times in my life.
I don't know. But what would you use to cook if not olive oil?
Oh, no, no. I don't know about cooking, but I'm wondering the other side of that. Like what the fuck was the medicinal side of olive oil?
Well, I'll tell you what. If you rub olive oil all over your body.
Yeah.
And then you are unable to get to a warm shower at a medieval fair.
For example.
For 6 or 8 hours after the wrestling.
Yeah.
And then you have to travel home in an ABC car with naught but a towel between you.
You drove from Brisbane to Sydney?
No, 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 from Caboolture to the hotel, right, yeah. And then the camera operator is yelling at you saying, don't get the seats all oily, but you're like, I don't choose to be this oily. For example. And then it's sort of 8 hours by the time you get into a shower.
How is your skin?
Well, there are parts of my skin that have really broken out in some acne.
And really?
Yeah, not none. Upsettingly, there are no places that are sort of visible to the human eye right now.
Dear.
There are some other areas that have been wrecked for about a week now, and I've needed to really tenderly deal with them. Sort of a pant rash is what I'm dealing with.
You, but I don't love knowing that. You know what I mean? Like,
I loved it.
Thank okay. you, Paul. Yeah. Thank you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I before when you were talking about the shower, I just had a bad memory from literally a few days ago at the sauna gym.
Yeah.
Where it's not really related, but at this gym, it's right in the CBD and it's like really bizarre. It's like this underground kind of pool area, but there's a family called the Packers in Australia.
We've heard of them. Yeah.
These are billionaires.
Yeah. Billionaires. Yeah. So I didn't really know
them. One of them was briefly married to Mariah Carey.
Wow.
And then I think when they left, she took a lot of his money and was like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, it was a great move. We're on team Mariah, frankly.
Yeah. Wow. Well, cause I think this gym used to be, okay, who's the current Packer man?
Is there a
James?
Yeah,
and then who was the dad above him?
Kerry.
I think it was Kerry Packer's old personal gym.
Okay,
or sauna place or whatever. But the rumor, this was a guy was telling me in the sauna, as I was stewing in a lot of COVID, probably. I'm fine. And he said that the Packer guy, had there's a secret apartment somewhere.
In
attached,
the gym?
Yeah, like attached to it. And he would bring like mistresses.
Oh, yeah. Right. Okay.
Right. But so.
To the gym?
Yeah, like.
Or the gym complex.
Next to it or whatever. But right, there's like maybe a door connecting it. So ever since then, because there's a bunch of mysterious doors around. So we've been like, we've got to find this.
Yeah, testing doors for secret passages.
Asked a few staff members. They've been like, yeah, maybe kind of thing. Anyway, I was up in this one like exercise area and there was a gym and I saw a gap of light above the door a gap of light above it, and I went and stood on a rowing machine peering in a woman's changing room which I knew was downstairs, but I didn't know it was two stories. And I didn't see anything bad, but I was like, I looked and saw cameras, and I was like, I had to be like, how do I explain myself?
Sorry, I was looking for the secret fuck tunnels. Yeah. I'm not a pervert.
Yeah.
You accidentally porkied yourself.
Yeah, it was really bad.
That is incredible. Well, Michael, we've hit the 40-minute mark and are yet to read a classified. Should we do a quick one?
Yeah, all right. You got one for us? Or do we do Paul's one?
Yeah, let's do Paul's one.
Paul, would you like to share with us?
This was taken from?
This is just from
Craigslist in North Carolina. Hello, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. I have been to North Carolina. No big deal.
Wow. Okay, the Venice of America.
Okay. So I just start from the subject line?
Yeah.
I need a wig.
Okay, this person's after a wig.
I have a DUI court on the 14th, and I got drunk and watched Last of the Mohicans and ran into the bathroom and gave myself a mohawk. I refuse to cut it off.
Okay.
But I can't go to court with a friggin' in
yeah. caps?
No, in brackets.
Oh, okay.
With a friggin', I can't go to court with a friggin' mohawk. So anyone have a wig? I don't care how ridiculous it is. Tell me your price. This is not a joke.
Name your price.
I was going to say sympathize, but I can't go that far.
Mm-hmm.
I understand the predicament that this shithead has put himself in.
Yeah.
Because we're cinephiles. And you know, like, I watched Avatar the other day and dyed myself blue.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
You love a movie.
Can you imagine if you had a mohawk and turned up to court? And the presiding justice was Justice Aaron Chen. the savage ruling.
Hey there, Mr. Spikey. I haven't seen Last of the Mohicans since I was. Oh, you know what? I was thinking of Dances with Wolves.
Okay.
Never mind. Because okay. I was going to argue that I actually don't know if there are any mohawk hairstyles in that film.
No, I think.
But I think there are.
I think Mohicans is very
mohawk heavy.
Yeah. I mean, your wife Anya yes. is a lawyer.
Yes,
but she wears a wig to court because they have to.
Oh, yeah, like a barrister's wig.
Wig.
Yeah.
Do you think if a defendant turned up in a barrister's wig,
yeah, being like, "Will you get one?"
Are you allowed to? It's like if you just turn up in a judge's wig, they can't do anything. What are they going to do?
Well, also, this guy doesn't specify that he's. Like that he's not the judge.
Yeah, he does say they have DUI court.
Yeah. So, he's presiding.
Maybe he's presiding. In America, they don't wear wigs.
Are they?
No, in America, what? They think it's very, yeah.
Also, if you're a judge or a barrister or something.
You just wear the silly robes.
Oh, no, I know that because I've seen Ally McBeal or Suits or other. The
procedurals, not a wig in sight. Yeah, they true. Think wow. our wigs are silly. And
the
I'll
judge
tell you what,
in The Simpsons.
Right.
Yeah.
It's British movies, I think, yeah. where they have wigs.
In New yeah. Zealand, judges wear wigs or what? What do you reckon?
I think so.
Yeah, okay.
My granddad was a judge, but in Canada.
Oh, okay.
I reckon Canada has wigs.
I think he did wear wigs. A wig.
Yeah, I think it's a Commonwealth thing.
Is the wig a family heirloom of sorts? Because they're quite expensive, aren't they, Ben?
They are hugely expensive.
Mm. What's Anya's? Anya's one's worth. Did you have to get it? You get one forever, right? Or do you get it changed?
You get one forever, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Okay. I actually cannot tell you the price because Anya told me the price and my-
And you met in black yourself.
I mean, I basically just met in black myself. She was like, I'm just going to go get this wig. There's one guy in Sydney. It's like the wand guy in Harry Potter. Like,
the wig tooth.
Yeah. You yeah. like go like, honestly, it's like this one like, old Greek man, I think.
Horse hair.
No, seriously. And she was like, oh, it's going to cost a bit more because it's not horse hair. It's some animal that I was like, what the fuck?
It's just an animal only rich people know about.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Wow. So yeah. Have you ever, have you seen your granddad's wig or anything? No.
No, sort of family I remember heirloom. Seeing some portraits and I think he might've had a wig on and like one of them.
Yeah.
You know, like a Damn. Judge photo.
I think this man's made a tactical error because I know he's like, look, I'm up against it. I just need any wig.
Yeah.
But he has said, I don't care how ridiculous it is. His concern is that his mohawk means the judges are going to like the party wig that I provide for him or the mohawk wig, because that would be great.
That would be a real fuck you to this
drink driver.
Do you think Last of the Mohicans is, are there any other famous hairstyles you would prefer from a movie? Like, have you ever been influenced from cinema to get a particular hairstyle?
Do you know what? I was watching, we've spent a lot of time today talking about my hair. I was watching Once Upon a Time in Hollywood 3 nights ago with my wife.
Did it inspire you to go barefoot more?
Yeah, really did.
What inspired Mr. Slick?
I don't know, Paul. I grew my hair long because I was in lockdown.
Yeah.
And then I was like-
But you were probably watching a lot of movies in lockdown.
Yeah.
I guess so. Maybe it was like-
Slicked back?
It wasn't the full Gordon Gekko.
Right, okay, but close
but
to
But enough maybe. That Aaron would go,
and
Mr.
You,
Slick.
And when he said it, it rang true to you.
Well,
I was a little bit Gekko.
I was watching Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and I saw Brad Pitt.
What's his hair like in that?
His hair in that is divine. But and I said to my wife, I'd like that hair.
Uh-huh.
And she didn't say anything.
She said, look, the wig guy only does judicial wigs.
Ollivander can't.
She was silent.
She was just more like, she said like very half-heartedly, bless her.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah?
She said, "Oh, you've already kind of got that hair."
She doesn't mean
that's
that.
That's a real wife thing to say. You know what I mean?
As I recognize we're sort of wrapping up, but yes. One last Hum has a very strong request for the however many years we've been dating that I grow a moustache.
Oh, yeah.
And not a beard, just a moustache.
I think you'd look good with a moustache.
Well, you and me are quite patchy boys.
Yeah, yeah. It takes me sort of like 6 months to sort of grow a reasonable, non-embarrassing beard.
You and I are kind of, I think that's why we're friends in a way.
We're friends because we have a contractual obligation to do this podcast.
That's true. I'm glad you drew that contract up.
Have you ever had just a moustache?
Yeah. Again, in lockdown.
How did that go for you?
And you fucking hated it.
Okay.
And she really, like, she said to me, "I'm going to shave that in your sleep." And we had a nice laugh about it. And then when I was like tucking myself into bed, getting ready to go to bed, she was like, "I worry that you thought I was joking."
Have you ever grown just a moustache, Paul?
A bunch of times, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
How do you look at the moustache?
It'll be more that I'll grow a beard and then I'll shave the beard wrist.
And
one day just have a moustache.
Has you mentioned your girlfriend, does she have a preference to the moustache?
I think
not?
She liked it.
Yeah, right.
I think she actually was a fan. But I personally like it but can't handle it for too long.
Interesting. What's the biggest issue? Is it looking like a sex pest or is it?
I don't know. I weirdly feel like I look a bit, I feel like I need to be older.
That's
to pull
what
it
I
off.
Think. I always think someone with a moustache is probably like 20 years older than me. It's a guy who's 50 years old who has a moustache. That's kind of how I feel.
Yeah, I think we know so many great moustache guys that like mine, I was just like, well, this is an embarrassment really? To the great moustache guys we know. Who's- Guy Montgomery, Carlo Ricci. Ben Russell.
I don't think of them as moustache guys. I think I have, what's that? Blindness that Dave has?
I have a similar thing. I have hair blindness. Yeah. It's like the other day, do you know Demi Lardner?
Yeah.
So I was talking, I've talked about Mo a lot on this podcast. It is, in fairness, 99% of my life.
He's your son. He exists.
But
you named your kid Mo after your favorite facial hair.
That's going to be a tragedy. If he has my genes, he's going to be unable to grow a good moustache. His name's going to be Mo. What have I done? Anyway,
I called him Mo.
I was on the way to hang out with Demi.
Uh-huh.
And Mo said, where are you off to? He didn't say that. No child says, where are you off to? But he was like, I was like, I'm just going to hang out with Demi. And he was like, which one's Demi? Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, Demi, like we had dinner with Demi. She's little and she's like mummy's height.
Everyone's big to Mo.
Yeah. But so I was like, she's like mummy's height and she's funny and she has blonde hair. And Moses was like, no, she doesn't.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, fuck, you're right. She hasn't had blonde hair in like years. Mm. I have hair blindness. Like Demi hasn't been blonde for a very long time.
400 years.
But yeah, it's weird that Mo, first of all, was like, I don't know who she is. And second of all, was correcting me. And what the fuck, man? I'm with you.
He's more sensitive to your like friends than you are. That's interesting.
Yeah, my female friends. You know what I mean? Like, it just goes to show there's a blindness there on my part. You really don't realize that Guy Montgomery has a moustache? I reckon if you ask somebody to name three things about Guy Montgomery.
Is it permanent? I don't know.
He sometimes doesn't have it.
Really?
Yeah, right.
I think his mum doesn't like it. I know a lot about his moustache, actually.
Did he have it during Taskmaster? I can't remember.
Did he have it? I actually think he didn't have it.
Yeah, maybe he didn't.
But there was definitely a long period where he had it. And then when he got rid of it, it was like,
was it weird?
It was weird because it was so ingrained in his face.
Yeah, yeah.
But then obviously, like, he looks great either way. I want that
handsome
on record.
Man. Handsome man.
Oh, one of the best.
Yeah.
I think of him as just a voice. Because like, often when I...
We've met Guy,
I know.
I would say a dozen times.
Yeah, I hang out with Guy all the time. But his primary attribute to me is his voice and the fact that he's a little bit like the guy from the cartoon The Thornberrys.
Nigel.
I think he does get that a lot, I think.
Yeah.
I guess that he has a moustache.
Yeah.
That's probably why. Yeah, okay, it's all come full circle. Paul Williams, thank you so much for joining us today.
No, thanks. Sorry we didn't get through more of the...
No, we're talking about Turkish wrestling too much. You mentioned you're doing a show in Edinburgh. We have a bunch of listeners in the UK, hopefully none in England, which we call Pedophile Island, but there are probably some in Scotland who might enjoy your comedy. If people are interested, what are you up to?
I'm doing a comedy show at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
Mm-hmm.
It's at 4:30 at Assembly Roxy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
All Fest.
And it's like a Paul Williams show? Or is
Paul Williams, just me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It'd be amazing if it was like he was, no, it's Stephen K. Amos. It's Paul just doing Stephen K. Amos gear.
Yeah.
Just like half an hour before his show, though. Yeah. See, we've never done that.
Well, just done someone else's jokes.
That would be, but like quite explicitly been like, look, Will Anderson's show is on at 9.
Well,
I'm on at 8:30 and I cost half as much. I've seen the whole show and know it by heart.
You know who, former guest on this show, Tom Walker, tried to do that, but obviously shares the management company with Will Anderson. And so was rightly told by several of the people in there being like, no, you can't do that. But yeah, I think he was going to call his show I'm the Willress or something, like one of Will's very successful show titles.
We have something to plug, Michael.
Yes.
We're going down to Melbourne in September.
Uh-huh.
Back down for round two. I might premiere a new hairstyle down there.
Wow. Mr. Mohawk coming soon to Melbourne.
And on the 2nd of September, that's 2 days before Father's Day.
It's a Friday night.
If anybody wants to bring me a Father's Day gift, because I won't be getting any in that lonely city. we're going to be doing a show
at Comedy Republic.
Yeah,
it's a late show. Usually when we do Fred Wilgood Holmes, it's on a Sunday afternoon. And this time,
wait, when is this?
2nd of September.
Second of September.
Okay, yeah. Doesn't clash with mine.
So you could potentially make both.
Yeah, you could fly from, for example, wherever you are to Edinburgh, watch all 32 of Paul's shows throughout the Fringe,
yep.
And then come back.
For
to Sydney,
soothing sorbet,
Melbourne, whatever. Fred Wilgood Holmes.
Show. We haven't announced guests because we don't have them yet. But keep an eye on our Facebook and our socials,
Discord,
and
whatever
we
else.
Do some sort of deal where it's like,
yeah,
if a ticket to each.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, the sampler pack.
Fuck, you know what? If you can show us a receipt to Paul Williams's Edinburgh Fringe Festival show, we will grant you free entry to our show.
That's a deal.
That's a guaranteed deal. If you are able to watch, in fact, you know what?
Your ticket stub.
Yeah, if you show us a ticket stub to a Paul Williams comedy show in
that he signed. Let's not make this.
No, in Edinburgh. It's in, no. What do you,
no, because they could forge it.
That's true. Yeah,
that's good for you. I'll have to come back to be like, to verify.
They were there.
Yeah. We'll let you in free. Anyway, that's all we have to plug. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
Bye. If you like pina coladas and getting caught in the rain, if you're not into yoga, if you have half a brain, if you like making love at midnight in the dunes on the Cape, then I'm the love that you've looked for. Write to me and escape. Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.